5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. All-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all, and a happy new year. It is now 2023, can you believe that? And it is the new Panic Room, episode 296. So only a few more to go, it'll be 300, and hopefully we'll do something special. For 300, maybe have a nude show or something. The karaoke show we've been promising for the past 6 years. Anyway, a little bit of Olivia Newton-John sadly passed away. God bless her. And you're the one that I want. And the deep segue. Here's the one that I want.
Come on, I'm with you.
Greg Spina with the yee-haw and yippee-doo, happy new year and all that nonsense.
Yay.
Here we are again.
Yeah,
and I still have that childlike excitement, this whole brand new year and have you. And, you know, so... I don't think I'm ready. I don't think I was ready for it. To be honest, I had to promise that I'd get a lot of work done over the break, and of course, I didn't. You know, it's equally important to have some downtime. I had some downtime. I had some good time. Had some fun with the kids, and just chilled out and did nothing in particular. And it was nice. It really was nice. which meant I started the year a bit behind on a few things. But you know what? You know what? Doesn't matter.
Screw it.
Seriously, nobody's fucking died. You know, my book's not going to be out. It's going to be out a week after you said it was going to be out. Tough fucking shit, you know what I mean? So what? Does it matter?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, and somebody said, I forget who it was, this was like a couple of months ago, I'm having a mental health day. And I thought, what a great idea. So I had a mental health week, which was fantastic.
Yes. You know, I don't know if anybody, you know, who doesn't really kind of lay low during that week. I swear.
It is a bit of a dead zone, isn't it? It's like, Christmas is done, New Year's coming up. It's like, not many people go, but I mean, I did some work, you know me, I can't not work, but, most people are just not, you know, even people, it's like people just disappear, you know, people are like, you know, nag, you know, Christmas comes, that's, you don't hear from them. And then Tuesday, they're all back. They're all back with a vengeance. Have you done this? No, it's been Christmas holiday. Oh, I didn't realise you're on holiday. The entire fucking world was off.
Yes,
and you expected me to working on your project. Well, you know, good luck with that, Bucko. But it is nice to be back. It's nice to be back and doing this and. Still, after all these years, we're still doing this, and here we are still.
And you get a little excited this time of year, and my depression has started. So, but I have to tell everybody out there, we just got a little bundle of joy. I have a little baby chihuahua that we adopted or took in or whatever. And he is just, you know, he's chasing away the Christmas, you know, over blahs and stuff. So,
well, that's good. Even though it's a chihuahua, I mean, you know. You know my opinion on those dogs.
I know. You know what? I had pretty much the same opinion for a while. I was like, these are just, the yappiest.
He's going to be stinking cute, though. I mean, he's the cutest little bat dog that, you know. He's a little sweetie.
I just got a text from the husband saying that your little ball of fur just peed on the rug again. So there's that.
Yay! Hey, that's chihuahuas. We had a chihuahua, and he was, I don't know how old he was when we had to rehome him because we moved. But and he was still peeing. They just pee. I mean, thankfully, our touch wood, our two pups have stopped. They actually sleep with me now. They get to sleep with Dad, which is great. It's funny, one of them can get on the bed. She can jump, because my bed's quite high, she can jump straight up from a standing start. The other hasn't figured it out yet. because there's like a ledge around the bed. And, you know, the older dogs, in fact, the older dog and the pit bull sort of use that ledge as a leg up. The pup that can get on doesn't need to. The other, bless her, I don't think she's that bright, bless her, hasn't figured either out yet. So she sleeps under the bed, but she seems, or on the couch. She's happy enough, bless her. But it's nice. It's nice to have, nice to share my bed with something, you know?
he said, try not to sound...
Too sad, but well, you know, the best thing is, though, you know, you share a bed, you know, you don't have to talk to them.
Yeah,
You know, you don't have to talk to them over breakfast and all that, you know. Or, you know,
I bet you can
fart
anyway
in the middle of the night without thinking, oh, I can't do that, you know. But so I'm beginning to sort of prefer that, which is probably sad. Probably the saddest thing, but there you go. Anyway, we've got a cracking show to start the year with. It's a show favourite. I think you should bring him straight on, Lextina.
I am excited.
I mean, if you're not bothered, and if you're really not bothered, then don't. But,
no, I'm ready.
I'd love to chat with him. I really would.
Yes. This week on the Panic Room, we have Bram Stoker Award winner Jeff Strand.
Hello.
Happy New Year, Jeff. How are you,
back,
sir?
Happy New Year. Happy 2023.
Great to have you back. What a great way to start the new year with our old friend Jeff.
That's right. You should have me back as your guest for episode 300 too.
Oh, definitely. It's only a few weeks. And you know, I was saying just before the break, you know, had it not been through both Xtine and I being sick, you know, 1 month after another, we'd have had our 300th show by now. But it's something to look for. I hope we can, you know, hope Xtine can be bothered to arrange something special. I really do.
Yay, I'll work on that. Yeah.
Yeah, could you?
Yeah, it seems like it's been forever since we've had you on, Jeffy. And I've missed you. And, so what have you been up to? Tell us.
Tons of stuff. I basically have been trying to write a lot. So some of it is in the public view. A lot of it's behind-the-scenes stuff that has been going on forever. So I look like I'm more of a slacker than I really am. But you know, I'm at this point like 2 2/3 novels ahead. So I've got an Attack of the Killer Tomatoes novelization, which is coming out in April. That's my first novelization. So, you know, a normal author would do a novelization of a brand new movie. And I'm doing, you know, a 1978 movie, but still Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. It's
fabulous
fun. And then I've got a middle grade horror novel called It Watches in the Dark, which actually won't be, it's completely done and edited, but it won't be out until 2024. So there's a nice long wait for that one. And then I'm about a little more than 2/3 of the way into a new book, which I'm self-publishing this one. So this will be out before everything else. It'll be out probably end of January or beginning of February.
Soon, yes, and you're here to talk to us today about your book, Freaky Briefs, and it's funny, I was on Amazon, and I typed in the title, and your book is the first thing that comes up, but then I get a bunch of men's on your underwear, so that was fun.
I've beaten the algorithm, because when the book first came out, you had to search really hard to find it, because it was all men's underwear.
You know, I didn't mind. I didn't mind looking at men's underwear.
Oh, of course. I'm actually looking for a book. I'm really serious.
Exactly. But no, I didn't have to put your name in or anything. It was the first thing that came up. So I was, but the tagline, 75 flash fiction stories. 75, that sounds like a whole lot.
Every issue of my newsletter has a new flash fiction story. That was kind of like the gimmick to my newsletter was, don't subscribe to my newsletter to see links to buy my books. Subscribe to my newsletter because every issue has a brand new story, and they're all fairly short. You know, flash fiction is anything generally under 1,000 words. Most of them are in the 500 to 800 range. And my thought was always, once I have enough, I'm going to compile them into a book. And once I had about 55 stories, I thought, all right, now I'm just going to drop everything and write 20 more stories and get a new book out. So that's kind of what I did. So 55 of them came from the newsletter, and then 20 were written just for the book.
Now, do you ever run out of ideas for these stories, or are they just so many rolling around in your head, you just pick one and start writing?
No, every story is written with the desperation of, I don't know what to write about this. Like, I need to do a new newsletter. I don't have any ideas. what am I going to do? No, I would love to, like, have, you know, big bowl of ideas. I've got so many ideas that I don't know which one to write next, but actually it's always, you know, I'm empty. It's like as soon as I sit down to write a new story, then I have to come up with what it is. So at one point I got three stories ahead and I was really happy. Like if I just stay three stories ahead, then I never have to worry about it. And then I didn't. I used up those three stories and then pretty much every time it's written, it is written usually the day before the newsletter goes out and sometimes the day of. So it's always last minute and
the pressure.
Lots of pressure, lots of sweating.
I definitely want to hear more. Do you have an excerpt to read for us from Freaky Briefs?
I do. This is 175th of Freaky Briefs. And this is one of the stories that was written just for the collection, so this didn't appear in the newsletter. And it is called Intervention. Why is everybody looking so serious? Asked Tyler. Is this a party or what? Actually, no, said Jennifer. It's not a party. We're all worried about you. This is an intervention. An intervention for what? Tyler's friends all glanced uncomfortably at each other. You smoke a lot of weed, said Frank. No, I don't, Tyler insisted. I don't smoke any weed. I don't even do edibles. What are you talking about? Oh, sorry, said Frank. I got mixed up with the one we're doing for Blake tomorrow. What? Asked Blake. Don't get upset, Tyler, said Jennifer. We're your friends and we want to help you. With what? Doing? You giggle when you write. We've all heard you. Everybody nodded and murmured their agreement. I don't giggle, said Tyler. You do, said Jennifer. You giggle and you wring your hands together and you go, mwahahaha, a lot. Okay, maybe I do, Tyler admitted. So what? I giggle. I wring my hands together. I go, mwahaha. What's the big deal? Why does that require an intervention? You write gory horror novels. Yeah, and so you're giggling and mwahahaing over writing about the grisly deaths of innocent people. They're fictional. They come from your imagination. You created them like your own children, and you laugh when they die. Or get dismembered, said Frank. Right. Sometimes we think that the more gruesome the death, the more it amuses you. How do you even know what I'm writing, asked Tyler. Maybe I'm giggling at a funny part. Your books are pretty much just nonstop death and dismemberment, said Jennifer. At least that's what the one-star reviews say, and the five-star ones. We're not asking you to stop giggling altogether, said Blake, but we're your friends. And when you write books that are blood, 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 gore, 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 gazing at your computer screen in horror, you should be sad about the loss of human life, even if it's just words on a page. Nobody's saying that you're a psychopath, said Frank. We're just saying that you behave like one. I'm delighted by my own creativity, said Tyler. The macabre is no giggling matter, said Jennifer. What's next? One day you're giggling, the next you're walking the streets at night in search of human prey. I'm a writer. My stuff is all made up. That's what they all say, said Blake. But studies have shown that 72% of horror writers have murdered somebody in real life, sometimes for research, sometimes for fun. That statistic isn't remotely true, said Tyler. Are you saying that the entire time we've been here, you haven't considered trying to slaughter all of us with the machete on your coffee table? Asked Jennifer. Tyler was silent for a moment. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it's just because you're all annoying me right now. It has nothing to do with the giggling. We're not here to annoy you, said Blake. We're just worried that your behavior makes you seem like part of the 72%. If you want to write your depraved splatter novel, so be it. We're simply worried that you're enjoying it too much. We all care about you, said Jennifer. We don't want to see you get hurt or to hurt others. Tyler stared at all his friends and then broke down sobbing. True, he said. The actual percentage is even higher. You can't write disease stuff like that unless those desires actually lurk within your damaged mind. Almost all horror authors have succumbed to the urge to kill. When you become an active member of the Horror Writers Association, you're assigned a cleanup specialist just to make sure you don't get caught. I called him last night. I'm sick. I'm so very sick. It's okay, Tyler, said Jennifer. Let it all out. Tyler blew his nose into a tissue. I don't want to do this anymore, but I don't know how to stop. I feel like my life is at a crossroads. Right now, I can't decide if I want to write inspirational romance novels or use that machete on all of you. We hope you choose a romance novel, said Blake. Just know that whatever you choose, we won't abandon you, said Frank. We're here for you. Tyler looked at the machete. Then he looked at all of his friends. What would you do if you were Tyler? Explain your answer. And that was intervention from Freaky Briefs.
I love that. Are you, I have this feeling that you're actually Tyler.
Absolutely. I'm part of that 72%.
Yeah. And, you have written a sort of rom-commy kind of thing. So I guess the next up is just to start slaughtering your friends, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know if you can talk about that on air.
A public forum.
No, that was great. This evening I was trapped underneath a teeny tiny little puppy and I couldn't move. So, I was reading. I had a good excuse to just sit there and read and not do anything else because, I was trapped under the puppy. And so I started reading, and flash fiction is way different than like a short story because you don't really, it's so quick. But yeah, I was like, wow, that's over with that. That's awful. That's gruesome. That's, terrible. But it's kind of funny and dark and... I like the suicide pack thing. I definitely, when you do sit down, especially if you are, pressed for time or something, or you need to get this out, first sentence comes to you and then you just keep, start going, or
it varies by the story. So like the one you mentioned, the douchebag who reneged on the suicide pact. I came up with the title, and then it's like, all right, you've got a douchebag who reneged on the suicide pact. Where do I go from there? And then the story has, several twists in it. It just keeps, it keeps circling in on itself. So that one was kind of made up as I went along. Because it's flash fiction, there's only so lost you can get. You can't really,
right.
It's not like, I have to delete my last 8 chapters because I got completely off course. Worst case, if one isn't working out, you've lost 800 words at the most, so it's not a huge risk. So for something like that, and also it's flash fiction and it's goofy flash fiction. It's not; these are not, really elaborate mysteries where everything has to fit into place. It's kind of, the story is called The Douchebag Who Reneged on the Death Pact. So I have quite a bit of creative leeway in how silly it gets and that kind of stuff. So there are some serious stories and they're not that many. I think, this is technically my 5th collection of short stories and they tend to always be horror comic collections, and there's some serious ones and then some funny ones. This one leans much more toward the funny ones just because it's flash fiction. It's a lot easier to do something that's really goofy than it is to do something that's serious and scary. But there are a couple of serious and scary ones in there. But, the process kind of varies. Sometimes I come up with the ending and then work my way backwards. Sometimes I just sort of make it up as I go along. It's kind of just... whatever it takes to come up with an idea so that I can put it in my newsletter, as I promised.
I would like to know what a day in your life is like. How many hours do you think you spend writing a day? You have so many things going on, and then the short stories on top of it. I'm just like, wow, he just must spend all, and just lock himself in his office, and he doesn't come out until... cobwebs are forming around the door.
That's my current life. See, what happened was, in 2020, for obvious reasons, I didn't go anywhere, and so I cranked out a crap load of books. And then 2021 events started, and then 2022, I was just like constantly traveling. And 2023 is going to be the same, where I just have, make up for lost time, go to as many conventions as I possibly can. Which also meant that I was not getting a ton of writing done during those times.
Right.
And also
right.
I've got the behind the scenes type stuff, which, my clue is that I got my Writers Guild of America card, which is a screenwriters union. So I've been doing movie/TV stuff that I'm not allowed to talk about that is moving, excruciatingly slowly and taking up a lot of time, but not with anything to show for it. So it looks like I'm not writing a whole lot, even though I am. But, basically, Hollywood closes down for the holidays,
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, well, I don't have to, you know, my screenwriting stuff is on hold and my travels are on hold. So I need to get another book out there. So I basically have been doing what you said, locked in my office, writing from morning till night, trying to get, you know, a book in the queue. And then I'm probably going to just keep doing that until it's time to start traveling or the screenwriting stuff kicks back in again. So I'm trying to make the most of the fact that I do now have the option to sit in my office and write a new book.
I love asking you this question, and it's been such a long time since you've been on the show. I feel like I can ask again. What is your favorite book that you've written? The answer could change. So
that's always because I used to wobble between Blister and Cyclops Road.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's harder now. I'm not 100% sure what answer I'd give. I'd probably vary based on the day. Maybe I'm going to go with my nonfiction book, The Writing Life, which that's the first time I've given that as an answer. So that's a new breakthrough. But I'm looking at my shelf of author copies right now. I'm thinking maybe The Writing Life. There are some recent ones that I like a lot. Like Allison is one of my favorite of my recent ones. I don't know that I'm going to give that the number one spot. But
right.
I don't know that for a while, it was just like either Cyclops or Blister. I'm not sure now I have one that towers above the rest. Probably the answer is going to change at any given moment. But for today, to give an answer to your questions that I'm not just like, oh, no, they're all like my children. I can't choose. I'm going to say The Writing Life, Reflections, Recollections, and a Lot of Cursing. My first and only nonfiction book.
It's funny that you said that about your children, because I kind of feel like that with my poetry books. I'm like, you know, and even though they're not, you know, alive, I do feel guilty if I give the, you know, it's like, be quiet. You don't want to let your books know that you have a favorite.
You don't want
it's
your
like
other
your children,
poetry books
you know?
To seek vengeance.
Exactly. So especially like Dark Musings. So I can't ever, you know, say a different one's my favorite, because that's a really creepy cover, and it could, you know, come alive at night and, you know, kill me or something. So
that's exactly what it basically, it does the Paranormal Activity thing and just stares at you for hours at night, not moving.
That's not funny at all.
So little.
Maybe a little, yeah. But yeah, when you start mentioning your books, I in my head I'm like, oh my god, I love that one. Oh my god, I love that one. So I think that every single one I read became my favorite until I read another one, and then that was my favorite for a while. And I definitely remember asking or mentioning this before. My first one was Blister. Yeah. And I laughed so much, and it was so funny. And I think that's what I loved the most was the humor. And then when I read Dweller, that didn't have almost none, you know, humor, I cried. I was just so emotional, and I thought, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I think I might have loved that a little bit more. So what do you prefer? Do you prefer the books humor's prevalent or the more serious ones?
Probably having written the serious stuff and writing the funny stuff. So, like, the most fun books to write are stuff like A Bad Day for Voodoo, which is just insane and goofy. But something like Dweller was not, I would not say that was my most fun one to write, but it's probably, you know, definitely one of the ones I'm most proud of. So stuff like Pressure, Autumn Bleeds into Winter, the ones that are more serious. You know, My Pretty's sort of is a little bit different, because that was actually a really fun one to write, but also a serious one and one of my favorites of my own. So it kind of varies.
Yeah.
For the most part, again, to give an answer to your question instead of just, you know, copping out and saying, I don't know, I can't answer that, I'm going to say generally the funnier ones are more fun to write, but the serious ones are more satisfying to have written.
That's a good answer. Good answer. So, okay, we are going to take a short break. So don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back. James has got to push a button.
The Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher, along with links to all of their available works across platforms, at hellboundbookspublishing.com. In the mood for something steamy to read? Check out erotica author Jennifer Lynn at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James and Xtina at their respective websites, jameslongmore.com for James and darkpoetprincess.com for Xtina. Don't forget to follow The Panic Room on social media. Facebook unofficial, The Panic Room Radio Show, our Vimeo channel with all of our previous shows, the new Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
Well, all right, so I'm being foolish. Well, all right, let people know about the dreams and wishes you wish in the night when lights are low. Well, all right, well, all right, well, we'll live and love with all our might. Well, all right, our lifetime love. Well, all right, so I'm going steady. It's all right when people say that those foolish kids can't be ready for the love. Well, all right, well, all right, we will live and love with all our might. Well, all right, our lifetime love will be all right.
I made it back. Sorry, I literally just got back. So here I am. Well, no, it's funny. I treated myself to a bit of a late Christmas present this year. Bought myself a little 38 special, and I was just showing my son. So there you go. So we haven't shot anything. Don't panic. But she's nice. I'm going to those crazy Texans with a whole house full of guns. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. You just know. You just know. Because we're not allowed them in England. That's the thing. We're not allowed them. You can have a shotgun if you can. We have to have a license, obviously, and justify it and all the rest of it. If you're a farmer or that sort of thing. But handguns are absolutely. But here you can buy them in Walmart. You know, you go get your groceries and buy a handgun. You know, which is ridiculous. But, so anyway, it is that time of the evening where we say...
Oh, hey! Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no!
Hey, guys!
It's the lovely Samantha! Hi, Happy New Year, lovely Samantha!
Happy New Year. How are you guys?
We're good. So, how are you?
Sad. Oh. we're surviving.
that's all we can expect these days, isn't it? All we can expect is that we're battling on.
Yeah, it's not too bad. We're doing okay.
it's another new year, and even for me, who gets giddy at the thought of a new year, even I'm a little bit weary this year. I think that the last few years have just been shit. One way or another, you know, and it's like,
yeah, I think so too.
Here we go again, you know, here we go again, another one, well, another year to be horrible, but that's just me. So lovely Samantha, what have we got this evening?
Well, you know, I figured since you keep sending me these romance stories, I really think you're trying to convert me. Secretly, I thought that I would go ahead and review it because honestly, it was not bad. I really did enjoy it. It's called A Shot of Love by Jesse Miro, and I got to be honest, I don't know if you would call it. I mean, it has romantic parts, but I don't really think it was a romance. It's more like an apocalyptic book, you know, without all the zombies and stuff. Like they're learning how to rebuild after modern civilization has crumbled. Our main character's named Tex, and I love him. Tex deserved better, and that's where I stand. I stayed up until like 11:30. I was so tired. I needed to go to bed. I was like, I've got to finish this review. I could have hurled that book at my television and broke it. I was so angry. And
wow.
I messaged James literally like 11:40 at night. I was like, is this really the ending? This is what I got after almost 400 pages, because it's just so stalking. Like you read this whole book. Nothing at all hints at this ending, like at all.
No. The Easter egg, the Easter eggs are there, Samantha. They are there.
I liked this story. It had like I liked the characters. It has really good pacing. Like it's not anticlimactic. You know, some books like that, it's like you're on the edge of your seat forever, and then when you get to the end, it's like, oh. It was really like that. It was a shocking ending. And, you know, it's funny. I thought this author was, like, a lot younger. And I looked him up on Amazon, and he didn't fit the age group that I thought he was. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. The way that it was written, I don't know. I didn't expect him to be, because his Amazon bio said something about being in the Army. I wouldn't have expected that. But it makes me understand why the book was written the way it was. Like, everything made sense and it flowed well, if that makes sense. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to read this. So how many stars would you give it?
I think I gave it 4 on Amazon just because of the ending. It's not the ending I would have gave it as the author.
Well, so hang on. So write your own damn book, then. You know. Well, I didn't like the ending.
Right.
Well, write your own day if you're not good enough for you. It's going to be like that.
No, I really think
it's
your
own adventure.
Because, the whole time you read this book, like, I don't know if James has read it. I'm sure that he has. That's not the ending you're expecting. Like, you get all the way to the end, and it's like, I just sat there stunned for so long. I didn't even go to bed within the hour. Like, I just sat there. But it's such a good book, and I was reading it thinking, like, James is trying to convert me, and we're getting there. It's going to take a little more time.
Oh, gosh. So, yes, give us a shout-out real quick. What the book was, the name and the author again, Samantha?
It's called A Shot of Love by Jesse Miro.
Awesome. I will look forward to seeing what you have for us next week. Thank you so much, Samantha.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
All righty.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bless her. She spends most of her time immersed in blood and guts and horror and what have you.
Yes.
You know, a little bit of romance wouldn't hurt, you know, and obviously.
Right.
You know. God bless her. We love her. She needs to lighten up a little bit. She needs to a little more romance in her life, a little more jollity. So I think next time we'll try and dig out a good old comedy to send her. I think You know, just to brighten her day up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. So we have to bring Jeff back.
He should be there. Jeff, are you still with us, mate?
I'm here.
Yeah, totally, he's there. Of course he's there.
I have to apologize if you guys hear barking because they're not supervised.
Yes,
and there's a kennel down there. There's four dogs, and without supervision, they don't shut up. So, they're going to join us. So I do apologize.
Well, at least I'm surrounded by four dogs, all of them considerably larger than chihuahuas. Not a peep.
I know the little ones. Nobody, oh, you know what?
Behave.
And we are our neighbors who live directly across from us. They have a few dogs too, but they're mostly home. It's only when they're gone do the dogs start barking. And I was like, oh my gosh, can you imagine? When both of our houses were gone and the dogs are just, our both houses are just going crazy. And, it's not fun. It's not good. But at least I'm not here when that happens. So I don't have to worry.
Well, just like you're not there to listen to it. So not a problem.
Yes.
Not a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh.
I was recording
reading
for a virtual convention, and my cat, basically it was like a 15-minute reading, and in minute 14, my cat walked in front of the camera. It's like, I'm not recording this again. You're going to get a cat in the reading. That's fine.
You know, I have to admit, sometimes I go on Facebook just to see if there's any updates on Chaos, and I don't get nearly enough. So I do think with this, the crap that we have to deal with online and in what's going on in the world these days, we definitely need more updates on Chaos. You know, he could start his own blog.
He doesn't live a rich and active life. It's kind of got up eight.
It doesn't matter.
Slept in the sunbeam. It's not new adventures for Chaos every day, a life of wonder and magic. It's kind of the life of a very lazy cat.
I would still, tune in just to get it makes me smile. And, this is, James gets giddy right now, and I just really, I'm like, oh, God, a whole nother year and, a whole year before I can experience the most wonderful time of the year again. And then earlier today, we were at Jersey Mike's getting lunch, and they were taking down the Christmas decorations. I'm like, why? Why do you have to do it when I'm here and I can see? And no, it's not the most wonderful time of the year anymore. I'm just so sad. Speaking of Christmas, did either one of you watch, get a chance to see Violent Night?
No, I have it to watch. I'm told it's very good. I have a thing about watching anything sort of festive, not at Christmas.
So you can't now.
I may have to wait till next December to watch it.
Yeah, I would do that.
I'm
going to
watch it
the
second it hits streaming, but I haven't seen it yet. I guess it's on streaming, but it's at that $19.95 for a digital rental. So once it's a reasonably priced rental, I will definitely get it because I've heard it's fantastic.
Yeah, when Amazon Prime's got it for $3.99, that's the time.
Yeah, that,
you're gonna have to. I think what we need to do, Eckstein, is introduce my new Christmas present to your new dog and see if it quietens him. Maybe it's a little bit of lead in his ear might quiet him down a little bit. Just saying.
There's four down there. Yeah, I can watch in the camera and I'm watching them all run around and they're just having a jolly time out there.
It sounds like it.
But
yeah.
No. I enjoyed the movie. I really did. It was very violent, so the title was exactly what it's about. And as a matter of fact, there were some scenes in it that I was like, "Holy crap! Is that that's a violent?" You know, I mean, I guess I wasn't expecting it for. Yeah. Oh, more than one.
I tell you, as an aside, over Christmas, I binged Alice in Borderland on Netflix. It's a Japanese. It's like similar to Squid Game, similar sort of idea, but different, if you know what I mean. But I would recommend it. Again, it's very violent, very But the characters are nicely developed, and it's done really well, and it keeps you guessing. The end's a little bit surreal, but again, if you want a good binge watch, two seasons, Alice in Borderland, there you go. That's Jimbo's recommendation for the week.
Yes, I was going to say, do you have any recommendations that we need to watch, Jeff? Any new movies that are out that are good or anything?
I finally watched Yellow Jackets, the Showtime series, which is
did you enjoy it?
The girls' soccer team. Oh, yeah, I really liked it. The girls' soccer team who is in a plane crash. So the flashbacks are basically them going Lord of the Flies. And the
present
is them dealing with it. So it's actually really, really good.
Yeah, I think there's a second season out this year, I believe.
Yeah, I think the second season comes out in March. So
mm-hmm.
I finally got to see that. And today I finished up the fourth season of Documentary Now, which is they only do six episodes per season, and they're short episodes, so you can burn through it really fast. But it's basically a series where every episode parodies a different documentary, and it's not like in your face humor, but it's hilarious. It's one of those shows where you either get it or you don't. So I showed one of the earlier episodes to some friends who were just like stone faced. I don't recognize why this is in any way funny. But if you get into it like I do, it's really one of the funniest shows out there.
Oh wow! Is that on Netflix?
No, it's on AMC Plus. It airs on, it airs on one of the smaller cable networks.
Mm-hmm.
But the episodes are on AMC Plus now.
Mm-hmm.
I have been watching a lot. I don't know why. It's just one of those, maybe a guilty pleasure or something, but I love to watch the ghost hunting shows that, you know, like 99% of it isn't real. And, you know, you just, oh my gosh, what was that noise? Oh, did you hear that? You know, that's pretty much the whole episode. But for some reason, I can sit there for hours and watch these shows while my brain just kind of like rots in the background and stuff. But I really enjoy them. So there's that. But, no, and how about books? Have you what's the last book you read, Jeff? Anything good you're reading?
The last book I read was actually nonfiction. It was Quentin Tarantino's Cinema Speculation, which is basically just this. It was excellent because, you know, I'm a big Quentin Tarantino fan, and it's sort of like picks a movie and then he discusses it, but with each essay about a specific movie, he brings in all kinds of other film history, and, you know, it's got a nice writing style. It's not super deep. It's just a very fun, quick read and makes me want to watch a whole bunch of 70s movies that I haven't seen yet. But on my bookshelf, not yet read, like calling to me, is the fourth John Dies at the End book called If This Book Exists.
Oh, wow, I enjoyed that.
So I haven't read the fourth one yet. I love the first three, and just I haven't had a chance to read the fourth one. It is sitting there glowing on my shelf saying, read me, read me.
So we have a caller. Somebody wants to have a chat with Jeff. So there you go. You're man of the moment. Hello, it's another Jeff. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, doing great. Thanks for letting me talk.
Hey, you're welcome, Jeff. Jeff, meet Jeff, 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 Jeff. It's the Jeff Show.
Yeah.
So
the
airwaves are yours.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, coolness. Hey, Jeff, I've been stalking you for some time, and I've been kind of wondering, like, in your recent book, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, how come you didn't call it Attack of the Killer Potatoes? You know, recent demographics say that potatoes are hell of a lot more scarier than tomatoes. Was it a publicist kind of thing, or what, where was you going with that? You know,
probably it was the makers of the original 1978 movie would have gotten mad and said, if you're going to do a novelization, you should probably keep the same vegetable that attacks people.
Oh, it's good to keep it consistent when it comes to vegetables, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to maintain the artistic integrity.
Can I just break in? Isn't
demographics?
Isn't a tomato technically a fruit, though?
Ooh.
It is, and that, you know, that it's
just,
one of the jokes in the movie that does not age well, but is in the book in a different form. So.
Just saying.
Oh, okay. So, you know, I've heard that you're funny. I believe you are. I've been following you on Facebook. But, hey, when's the right time to inject humor into horror? Probably not during the scary scene, huh?
It's when it's appropriate to the characters and the situation. So it's like,
yeah.
If the character would actually say that in that moment, then it's appropriate. If it's the author trying to be funny instead of letting it happen naturally in the situation, then it's not appropriate. Now, that depends on the kind of book you're doing. If you're saying, I'm writing a serious horror novel, but I want to interject comic relief, then that's what I meant. If you're trying to do just a goofy horror slapstick, splatstick comedy, then you can put it anywhere you want, which is what some of my books are. But in a book like, say, Deathless, I try to, which has a lot of humor, but it all has to be character-based, appropriate, and what they would actually do in that situation. That's kind of like the, for me, the line is, would the characters do that? If so, yes, I can be as funny as I want. If not, then I have to cut it no matter how funny a joke I come up with.
So you have to restrain yourself. So what does appropriate mean? Does it mean not suitable for work or what?
Oh, no. No, it means what would the character do? So if a character, yeah, you know, is looking at a glowing-eyed demon, and they're not going to, if it's a detective story, maybe you have the leeway to come up with a smart-ass comment because that's kind of genre appropriate. In a horror novel, if they're not going to come up with a snappy retort unless you've really set up that this is the kind of character who would come up with a smart-ass comment when confronted with a demon. So it's really just, what would you say, you know, what would someone do in that
what
actual
would Jeff
situation
do? Yeah.
Based on
W-W-J-D.
The reality you've created in your book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So if someone's facing a demon, they're likely terrified unless they're, you know, deranged or unhinged. Yeah, okay. You said you might be saying something stupid, but did I miss that before, or can you say something like that now? On Facebook.
I've said stupid stuff throughout the entire thing.
Oh, okay.
He's referencing my Facebook. He's not being a jerk. He's referencing my Facebook post with me saying I'm going to say stupid stuff during it. So.
I'm just trying to be funny and failing.
Yeah.
We would tell you that we'd take it out in post, but James never does, so don't believe him when he says that.
Oh,
yeah. Nope.
Wow.
No, never happened yet.
Nope. I'm aware whatever I say is out there forever.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know. When we talk about,
James,
you know, our 300th... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
I was going to say something silly, like asking James to say something in British.
Well, I say everything in British, so I can't help it. Although technically, I am also American now, so yeehaw on all of that.
Yeah, do you wear the big hat and all that?
I do have a big hat, yes. And you know what they say about us guys with big hats, don't you? Big heads.
Yeah.
Big heads.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Sure, that's it. Or big hands. It smells like cabbage.
Something like that.
No. Oh, God. Hey, Jeff, I was wondering, how do you reach out to market your work? That's
mostly through social media, just trying to be entertaining. So, you know, there's lots of stuff I could do that I don't really do. I'm not good at sending out review copies. I'm not good at figuring out algorithms and stuff, but I am pretty good at trying to be entertaining on Twitter or Facebook, and just instead of saying, hey, everyone, I would like you to purchase my new book, coming up with an entertaining way to keep you in the hardcore. So,
yeah, I think the last one, you said something about everyone weep, I've already won the Academy Award, or something like that.
That's right. Back to the Killer Tomatoes, the greatest book of all time. There's no reason to write future books. It's basically, it's over. Every literary award is going to that book.
Oh, man, that was killer.
Oh, I hate to do this. We are about out of time for our show. And you know, every I know it's awful. Every single time I say I'm going to make the show the hour and a half, and then I go, well, we just have one guest. We'll have plenty of time, and then we don't. But it gives the our audience a chance to, you know, want a little bit more. So we have to have Jeff back, and then we can have Jeff Parsons call again. So, you know, it all works out. It all works out because, you know, yeah.
Leave them wanting more. They're not like, my God,
yeah.
He would not
absolutely
shut up.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. I mean, Jeff has always got a new book out, so you know, there's always a show for Jeff.
So I was gonna say you have to come back, and I will. I'll talk to you about coming back for our 300th at least, just to say, you know, hi or something, because that would be awesome. And yeah, definitely, definitely. And for all of our listeners out there, go out and buy killer – oh, my gosh, I was going to say the killer tomatoes there, because that's what I have right in front of me. But it's actually Freaky Briefs, and make sure you, you know, don't just buy men's underwear, because Freaky Briefs by Jeff Strand, that's the one you want. So thank you so much, Jeff. I can't wait to have you back on the show.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
To both Jeffs. Okay. Bye-bye. And unfortunately, it is that time where it's time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Never speak aloud.